Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Shepherd of lost sheep. Shepherd of lost sheep. Any Dukes of Hazzard fans, I think? Yeah. That's what Uncle Jesse
I was singing the Dukes of Hazzard theme song today.
Just
on my motorcycle.
Good old boys. Yeah. Never meaning no harm. Who was that? Was that Waylon?
But that was a little bit more.
Wasn't that Waylon Jennings?
I think so.
Is that country?
That absolutely is country. Oh, yeah. Yeehaw.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Matt, cut your motorcycle in half now.
Yeah.
Put a VW Beetle on the front.
Catherine Bach, the inventor of the Daisy Dukes, right? The
Yeehaw.
The reason that Daisy Dukes exist is because of her character on that show named...
Thank you, ma'am, for your service.
Daisy Dukes.
Yes.
And might I say, in her prime, oh my God. Like, her in her prime and, who's the broad who played Wonder Woman?
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter, thank you, yes. Linda Carter, oh my God, amazingly beautiful woman in her prime. At any rate, the telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Rich.
Before we get back to your calls and thoughts, I want to say thank you to Shooty. S-H-O-O-T-I-E. It could be Shootie, I guess, but Shooty is a silver-level amplifier. What does that mean? That means Shooty enjoys the program enough that they decided to give us $5 a month to help us get on more radio stations, to help advertise, market, promote, and support. That spells AMPS, A-M-P-S, advertise, market, promote, and support.
Clever.
Very clever. And they give us $5 a month over at amps.freetalklive.com. You do get some little perks if you donate to us to help us spread the message of freedom and peace and prosperity. And, you know, if you give more, we only ask for $5. You can give 10 or 25 or more. There's, you know, different levels of stuff that you get. But that shouldn't be why you contribute. You should contribute because you enjoy the program. You enjoy the content. You enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the subject matter, the callers, and how we bring you the perspective of peace, liberty, and prosperity. So thank you to Shooty for your contribution. We appreciate you.
There should be an AMPS hangout tent at ForkFest.
How many people do you think we should
be in the tent? I don't know. You just put up a tent and see how many people show up.
I'm just wondering how many of our amplifiers would actually show up.
As with all things ForkFest and PorkFest, it's a good idea. Why don't you come there and set that up for us and make it happen?
Just want to see it.
All right, well then hush.
Oh, wow.
No more good ideas for you. You just run with all your bad ideas.
I mean, that's gotten me this far.
Yeah.
The thing about ideas is that everybody has them.
Yeah, so?
And they're actually a bountiful thing, right?
Understood.
It's very few of them that get put into action, much less put into action successfully, which is why I have that attitude that I do.
I just don't care about credit, right? So if I want to see something, I just speak it into the universe and let someone else manifest it for me.
That's not how manifestation works.
It totally is.
It might be.
It's absolutely how manifestation works.
No. You're just wishing at that point.
No.
Isn't that manifestation?
No, manifestation is trying to will something to occur by putting your effort and thought into it.
Yeah.
All Rich is doing is putting the thought. There's no effort.
No, I put the effort. Oh, okay. I spoke it into existence.
That's not how manifestation
works. That's exactly how manifestation works.
We disagree.
We can disagree.
All right. Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. I want to talk to Shirley. Shirley, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's about time. I just wanted to say this about the backpacks. Mm-hmm. I don't think the kids really need the backpacks in the first place, and I wonder if it's ever been studied as to how much harm it does to the children's shoulders and backs.
Depends if you one strap
to how
or two strap.
They carry in those backpacks, and for the most part, I'm going to bet you they don't even know what's in there. They're safe. They put them on in the morning, maybe put one textbook in it, and bring it home in the afternoon and throw it in the floor, and that's it. So I don't really think they need a backpack.
Well, okay. I see what you're saying, but I want to back up for just a minute because when I talked to you off air, Shirley, you said that you were the oldest listener. And I'm curious.
Yeah, I guess I am. I'm just saying that. I haven't heard anybody say how old they are, but.
You don't have to. Do you want to say?
I'm 82. I'm 82 years old.
That might be close.
You may be our oldest listener. I don't know.
I am your oldest listener.
Well, you sound great.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to throw that in because, you know, there can be great danger in carrying heavy loads on your shoulders and your back when you're a young person. It can cause you to stoop. It can affect your spinal.
Okay, but, like, if that's true, then shouldn't they also ban backpacks from the military?
Well, they're strong men. I'm talking about younger people.
I mean, you almost kind of contradicted yourself in your own statement. Because you said you were worried about the weight that they carry, and then you said they only throw, like, one book in there. And if the kids are that weak where they're only carrying one book.
They don't even know what's in there half the time. Yeah. They just bring them home and throw them down on the floor, maybe get a book out, and then the next morning they get up and they throw them across their back again. And to me, it's not necessary. I just think it's something that...
But shouldn't it be a choice of the children to wear one or not?
It should be a choice.
Or at least their parents.
A choice, but...
But what's a better option to carry all that heavy stuff?
Should it be healthy?
Go ahead, Shirley.
Shouldn't it be healthy?
Well, so what's the healthier alternative then?
How much weight you could carry on your back every day?
Well, do you want them to carry it, like, in a bag in their arms, dangling from yourself?
Well, like, when I went to school, I carried my books home. I walked home, and I carried my books in my hands. So
okay. I was going to say.
I didn't have a backpack, and I don't think my daughter had a backpack either. I'm not really sure her children did. But
did you, Shirley, have one of those, like, those belt straps that would wrap around your books?
No, that's what I was talking about. I carried my books in my open hands.
So I'm old enough at 50 to remember a time before backpacks.
Like, okay, my daughter is 52, so I can't remember her having a backpack. Maybe she did.
I don't remember when it happened. It happens at some point when I was still in the public school system. But I remember as a dude, as a male child, that the female children could carry a purse, you know, their makeup and, you know, that kind of a thing. But the male children didn't carry anything. If they carried anything, it was just like a wallet in their back pocket.
Yeah.
I used to routinely leave home with nothing. No keys, mm-hmm. no phone, mm-hmm. no wallet. No, I would just leave, go hang out with my friends, ride my bike, whatever it is. And never did I have anything. At some point, backpacks, I sort of jokingly refer to backpacks now as my man purse. Because at some point, that is what it became. Like, all of the females had purses, and they got mm-hmm. larger than backpacks, or as large as backpacks at some point. And so then all of a sudden, men started carrying the backpacks, too. And I can't really pinpoint a year or a decade when that began to happen, but it did. Over time, all of a sudden, everyone's got a backpack.
Well,
yeah, because it keeps your hands
okay,
free.
So you survived without a backpack, right?
Right. So I've got a question for you, Shirley. As you were walking home, that long, you know, both ways uphill, carrying
barefoot
your books
in the snow,
barefoot in the snow, were those books heavy? Like, were
yes,
your arms?
They were heavy.
They
geography
were heavy.
Books and history books were very heavy in my day.
Okay, so you have to. So you want the current students to carry all those heavy books in their arms with wherever they're going. And you don't
think
that's going to be as burdensome?
They don't carry every book home every day, but I'm satisfied that it's better to carry them in your arms than to carry them on your back.
It honestly probably is.
You think?
Yeah, from like a chiropractic, like spinal point of view, I do think so.
You don't think they're hunching over because of the weight of the books?
Not it carrying them in their arms. I don't think so. But I think the real issue is now kids have to I don't have any real, like, evidence to back this up, but I'm going to guess that there are a lot more books that kids have to get. Because I remember when I was in school, I mean, we had, like, 7 or 8 textbooks that we had, and they were all, like, full-sized, really big books.
Yep.
Anyone
and I'm,
hoist
yes,
those in your
you
arms.
You have so much stuff.
I just maybe don't think we need
them. You don't
them.
Have to carry so many books.
Well, the internet has changed things, of course. You're right, Shirley. But I don't know that it's changed. Like, the government is typically very slow to react to technology. And in fact, I do remember when they would literally force these book manufacturers to update their books at weird intervals. So not as the information changed, but only as the government dictated it. So if information changed, it might take 4 or 5 years for the next revision of that book to hit the schools, even though the information changed. And so kids would be using outdated books.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And if you're still not carrying around heavy books, right, you got to pick one.
Yeah.
Either the books are really heavy and you want people like wrapping their arms around 8 textbooks in the front while they're trying to get to wherever they're going, right? Or they're not that heavy, or there are no books at all, and you can throw a laptop or a tablet in a backpack and be just fine, right? Without the pressure on your back being weighing you down.
Shirley,
well,
any other thoughts?
I really think there should be something put on it as to how much you can carry in your backpack, because I have back problems myself. That's why I'm saying that. Parents should be careful about how much.
Probably from leaning over and hunching over, carrying books home every day.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not hunched over, but I do have a back problem, and I can see how that it could cause smaller kids, especially, to have a back problem.
I got it. But you did not have a backpack, and now you have back problems. So there's either
a
correlation or there's no causation.
No, there's no correlation with me carrying my books home.
Hey, Shirley, how are you listening to the show tonight? Do you know what station you're listening
to? I am listening on WDOD out of Chattanooga. I think it's 102.3, something like that. It's WDOW out of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Awesome. Shirley, thank you so much for the call. We're here 7 nights a week, so feel free to call us again. We enjoyed you.
I know.
At one time in high school, I tried the briefcase backpack with, like, the one shoulder strap. Right?
No, don't do that.
No, that was terrible.
Yeah, that'll really give you back problems.
Understood.
Yeah,
so I switched back to a normal backpack. Mm-hmm. And
I looked it up. So backpacks became widely used in schools in the late 1940s.
Really?
So maybe not like all American schools, but that at least
like
so it's a European thing.
I kind of feel like the fanny pack gained popularity in my public school that I attended before the backpacks did.
Okay.
Or at least more so. And then all of a sudden, and then the fanny packs went out of style.
I'll rock the fanny pack.
And then all of a sudden they were replaced with backpacks, which, you know, are just larger things to carry on yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Depending on, like, the pants that I wear, some pants have better pockets than others. Right, or if I'm wearing, you know, like a kilt with no pockets,
right,
I'll stash everything in the fanny pack or the Sporran or whatever and rock that instead.
Right.
But I'll still always have my backpack. So there's essentials in there.
Right. All right, let's move right along. Let's go to Ricky. Ricky, thanks for holding. You're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Captain, Brother Richie, Sister Nikki. Good evening.
Sup?
Word.
Yeah, well, I had a fun topic tonight, but that's gone.
Oh, I need well, thanks for the call.
I'll explain. I need about 90 seconds, then you can comment.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Then we
can it's the Ricky Show. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
But no, I don't mean to be that way. You know that. Okay. Okay.
Clock's ticking.
Major Payne. You mentioned my name a lot. Now, Monday night.
Major Payne's got beef with everybody now.
No, it's not a beef. It's not a beef. Come on, Richie. Now, Monday night, Ian merged my call with the situation. And like he said, he has no problem doing that on Free Talk Live. Now, in 2017, he did that with 4 different callers with me. I was on with Ralph the Racist 4 times. Now, in the case of Sarah from New Mexico, I taught her and talked to her about Confederacy. And also, you know, Ian at a point got a little dirty because I started to flirt with her. And, you know, I told her.
I don't think you want Sarah for one of your videos.
No. Come on, Richie. I told her, I said, and I told her about my Southern Cross. That's a Confederate flag, Major. And I told her, I said, I'll show you the truth. I'll tell you the truth, young lady. Ian said that was the best call between two callers in his history of radio. And I wouldn't top it. Now, here's how this goes.
We'll get you a certificate.
Next week, on Sunday, say about this time, I'll hold on from 7 o'clock onward. I have no problem having just a legitimate discussion with you, Major, since you mentioned my name a lot. I'd love to talk to you. Ricky from the Commonwealth would have no problem talking to you. I'd like to get to know you a little better because you're a regular listener. I hear you a lot. You mention my name a lot. By the way, somebody recently said that Major Payne and I were the same person. That's another issue. That way we can dispel that.
I've never seen them both in the same room at the same time.
It sounds like
suspicious.
It sounds to me like Ricky is trying to gin up a bro down.
Well, not only that. See, back in those days, I called in on Skype. I sounded great. I was the Confederate Democrat. I was heavy. I used to say things like, God save the South, long live the Confederacy. I was hardcore. That was a fun year. You know, I was really popular, man.
Years of prime time. The South will rise again.
Really shown his strength.
I'll do that. I'll hold on from 7 o'clock till this time. This coming Sunday. And then I have no problem going on if Major don't show up. And I'm not going to try. I'll just talk the topic.
Well, you're precluding the decision by whoever sits in the first chair as to whether or not they want to participate in this fantasy of yours where we bridge two calls together and let you go. So,
wouldn't that be you, Captain?
Well, on Sundays, yeah.
He's going to wait till next Sunday.
What if I don't want to participate in your little idea?
Oh.
Mm.
Well, maybe you could talk it over to him and see what he thinks.
Call him.
Maybe you could talk it over with him. Why do I got to be the middle guy here? Why are you picking on the Sunday?
Because you answered the phone.
That's probably.
Well, I don't want to talk for you, Captain, but if you want, I can, I guess, you know?
Now he's got beef with the Captain.
Yeah, what's going on?
I tell him I love the Captain.
Next thing you're going to have a beef with Nikki.
Oh, come on.
I don't have a beef with Nikki. I'd even get along with Arya now. We had a great call about open borders, her and Ian, on Tuesday. I hope Bonnie feels the same way, you know?
Does Ricky call
every
day?
That's what I'm about, you know?
Ricky, do you call every day?
I'm a chronic caller, man, because I love this show. And, you know, sometimes I'm a little messed up, but I've only been back 90 days after 5 years. But I have a long history before that. By the way, the call from Sarah and Ralph, that was around the middle of 2017, around that period. Ralph lasted for weeks, the interaction, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like racists, and I don't like Republicans, Brother Mark being the exception.
But you fly the Southern Cross and, okay, it's interesting.
But that doesn't make me a racist. I believe in Confederacy. I believe in what it means, secession also. That's what I'm all about. It's just as valid that Southern Cross for that reason today. At least that's the way I see it and use it. That's what it meant for the most part anyways.
If I was a racist, that's how I'd see it too.
No, that's ridiculous. You know what's racist? The Stars and Stripes. Look at your history there, Brother Richie.
I don't rep the Stars and Stripes either.
Yeah, he does not. It's true. You are correct, though. The current version of, we'll call it government, is certainly racist. We cite the statistics all the time about, you know, the number of people incarcerated and how it, you know, really is sort of skewed to one particular race, and it ain't white people, you know.
See, the problem, Richie, is public school and a lot of these things taught you about the Civil War. But you know what? You got to look at the reality of history.
There was no slaves in the South.
Huh?
There was no chattel slavery in the South.
Well, my point was it was more than just slavery. Slavery was part of their economy. They had to keep it.
They had to keep it.
The North. Huh?
They had to keep it.
It would eventually ended, Richie. The South knew that. It just wasn't time yet. And our economy got destroyed thanks to Lincoln.
Okay.
You know?
So it wasn't time to set people free.
Huh?
It's so to set people free, it needs to align with like the economic values of people in power at the time.
We steal the South's land, and then we take the people, we make them homeless, we take away the food, we say they got to get a job, they got to make money.
So they were better off as slaves.
Pay taxes. Oh, and here's another thing. At that time, free means that you were born here. So the reality is, regardless of contracts and anything, because of generationalism, they were already free.
They seem free. They tried to get away, and the police chased them down.
If somebody is taking 100% of your life's effort without your permission, that is the opposite of freedom.
They didn't take 100%. They took, what was it, like two-thirds or something like that?
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't 100%.
So Ricky, hang on. I must ask, Ricky, at what percentage of your life's efforts are you no longer a slave?
Well, I mean, you got to look at modern times, but at that time, it was a different time from the beginning of 1776 onward.
I'm asking you today, what percentage of your life's effort being taken from you without your permission, without your consent, at what percentage are you no longer a slave? 100% we agree is slavery. Is it 90%, 80%, 50%? What percentage is it no longer slavery?
Now, that's a hard one to say, but I'll say it this way. If you look at all the taxes it's paid, you're talking payroll taxes, income taxes, sales tax. In my case, I smoke cigarette tax. That's 60%. 30% goes to the Commonwealth. For some reason, 30% goes to Uncle Sam.
I'm not asking how much tax you pay.
I'm pretty much a slave, buddy.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So not
and he
only,
only be
I'm
set free.
More of a slave than they
but his
were.
Economic masters allow him to be free.
You know?
Right. So according
but it's convenient to them.
According to your logic, Ricky, what Rich here is saying is that it's not time for you to be free yet. It's not time because it needs to align. The timing needs to align with whoever the economic masters are.
You'll be free sometime in the future.
I totally agree with you, Captain. No doubt on that one. I know exactly what you're saying. And times have gotten worse, you know? That's the worst part of it, you know?
Yep.
It really has. And I don't call myself a slave, but in reality, I know that I'm a slave, big time.
Hey, Ricky, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. I will share this. I don't know if I shared this on air before, but I was a cigarette smoker for a long time, up to two and a half, sometimes three packs a day.
Oh, wow.
Depending on how much I was drinking, partying, and carrying on, and all that kind of stuff, on a weekend particularly. Yeah, I'd
rock and roll.
Yeah. I tried to quit a bunch of times. I used Chantix, I used the gum, I had some sort of pills, whatever I was taking. I quit for philosophical reasons, because somebody pointed out, hey, Captain, you sure don't like being a slave from the way you talk and everything. Did you know that you're R.J. Reynolds' slave? You're their bitch? And I was like, it took a while, but it eventually sunk in. And I was like, I really am R.J. Reynolds, bitch. And that was the last cigarette that I had when I had that epiphany. So I quit smoking for philosophical reasons. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Community members in North Texas are mourning the loss of eight people killed in a shooting at an outdoor mall near Dallas on Saturday. The public gathered at the Cottonwood Creek Baptist Church in Allen for a prayer vigil Sunday evening to honor the victims. This as President Biden is urging Congress to put forth a bill banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Seven people were killed and a dozen others injured after a driver plowed into a crowd of migrants in front of a homeless shelter in Brownsville, Texas. Investigators say it appears the crash may have been intentional. Former President Trump won't testify at his New York civil rape trial. Both sides are expected to give closing arguments on Monday. Republican Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma tells ABC's This Week he's not ready to endorse anyone for president. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Already.
Yeah, time sure is fun when you're having flies, said the frog.
Yep.
Ribbit. Ribbit. Crickets chirping. Crickets chirping. I can't make a cricket sound, so I don't know how to do that.
Just rub your two legs together.
It's not making the sound. Damn it, Richie Rich, that didn't work.
This is bad advice.
That's how crickets do it.
Welcome back to the program. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
it's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Before we get back to your calls and our show, I want to remind you, ForkFest 2023. It's right around the corner.
Sure is.
You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out last year and looks to probably sell out again this year. But this year, we're going to have ForkFest before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Last couple of years, it was sort of the after party, but it started out as being the pre-funk, and so we're going back to that. ForkFest is once again the pre-funk to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There's no ticket cost. No one's in charge. All you need to do is reserve your camping site, your RV site, or your motel room with Rogers Campground June 15th through the 18th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. Where you can connect with other attendees. You can find links to the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. All of those, again, found at forkfest.party. Come party with us. We hope to see you there. Forkfest.party. All right. Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. Let's go to Richard in Tennessee. Richard, you are on Free Talk Live.
How are you, sir? I called the other night about an idea that I had heard pitched on several, news media stations.
Okay.
Probably a bad idea,
the gun violence problem that we have. And their suggestion I thought was just really excellent, and the guy I talked to at your station thought it was too, but it didn't get discussed. Why is it politically incorrect to propose that a person who wishes to buy a weapon must undergo a psychological evaluation as well as the background check that we currently have?
Yes. We don't currently have that in every state. I didn't have to do a background check or a psych exam.
Yeah, I didn't have to either.
Yep.
Well, you do in Tennessee, which is, I was just wondering if...
That's what we call there an infringement.
Is it politically incorrect to propose a psychological evaluation?
To libertarians and anarchists, yes.
Well, I suppose so.
It's also like a crazy person can pass a psych exam. You know, like just because I pass the psych exam doesn't mean I'm like not a psycho killer.
Right. Like here's what I would say to anybody proposing a psych exam before purchasing a firearm. If that's true, then a psych exam should also be performed on anyone who operates a firearm, police, military, anyone who's in control of these particular organizations, like politicians, for example, presidents, governors, that type of thing. They should also be subjected. In fact, they should be subjected to it first. When it comes to gun control, the same thing always comes up, and that is that everybody wants to tell everybody else what to do without doing it themselves first. If government wants to implement something that they think helps curb gun violence, then they need to show us how to do it first, because they're in control of the organizations with the most guns.
Well, I've seen so many news stories, especially the one about the Covenant shooting, where the woman, the stations that were carrying that were saying that this woman had already been diagnosed as being psychologically and emotionally unstable, but she had, I don't know how many guns, or several, and I just, what else could we do, I guess is my question. Maybe this isn't politically correct, but it's still, it should be considered.
You're asking the right questions. I think you're arriving at, in my opinion, the wrong conclusion. Free people should not have to ask permission to defend themselves.
Well, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that.
Well, you are. If you're asking anyone who wants
that
to,
I've seen on TV and whatnot, part of the news story has been, this woman or this man or whatever, especially the Covenant shooting, had been diagnosed as psychologically and emotionally unstable.
So what happens? What happens if someone is normal at age 18 to 25, buys an arsenal of firearms by simply filling out the 4473, no emotional detachment, nothing, and then at age 25 has a traumatic experience and experiences a head trauma and has PTSD and then goes on a rampage, because that's also possible. But they've already got all they need.
I still think that something like this should be instituted, because we've already got the NICS background check in a lot of places, not everywhere, of course. And it just doesn't seem as though it's enough.
I don't know. It's just, where do we draw the line, though, right? So, like, okay, what is mentally ill? So does this person have anxiety, depression, even if they're bipolar? I know a ton of bipolar people.
Red flag laws.
You know, exactly. So that would be, if you're bipolar, you can't, in a lot of these states, even depression, you won't qualify to, be able to own a gun.
If you have a marijuana card.
So, and then there's the marijuana card. So where is the line drawn? That's the real issue here. Because as Richie Rich pointed out, a crazy people can, pass the psych exam, get an arsenal of guns, go crazy, shoot up the place. And if I don't pass the exam, because I have, you know, whatever mental illness I have, that doesn't even necessarily make me dangerous. Now, I'm unable to have a firearm to defend myself.
Against the crazy person.
So that's well, where it's really tough here, because where is the line drawn? And it doesn't necessarily really fix the root cause of the problem.
The line is drawn, it shall not be enforced.
The psychology is advanced to the point where clinical and diagnostic psychologists could come up with some kind of an evaluation that will separate those people.
As a psych nurse, I'm telling you it hasn't.
Let's just go another way, because the only way this could be implemented is by mandate. And that means the government has to come in and say, okay, anybody who's trying to buy a gun must now submit to this evaluation before you can get a gun. This is the equivalent.
And then everybody fails.
This is the equivalent of licensing, right? You have to pass a test. Now, let me ask you, everybody, a question here, including our caller, Richard. Do driver's licenses prevent car accidents?
No.
Well, I think we looked at
that. Hang on, Richard.
Circumstance.
Do people having to go and take a driving test in order to get their driver's license, does it prevent car accidents?
No, not entirely.
Then why do you believe somebody? Why do you believe putting somebody else through some different kind of a test before they can purchase an object will prevent gun violence?
Because an object like a gun can kill a whole lot of people.
So cars kill a whole lot more.
A whole lot of people too, but you know.
I watched another massacre.
There are driver
online
training courses for that. Maybe there should be a firearm safety course.
And it was a dude in an SUV that like ran through a migrant center and killed seven people on the sidewalk.
Cars kill way more people than guns do.
Well, I mean, you
should
know,
people take a psychological evaluation?
Worthy of discussion. Yeah. You know,
should people take a psychological evaluation before they're allowed to take a driving test?
No, but I think the circumstance there is somewhat different.
Well, you're getting the forum to have the discussion.
Can't be used as a deadly weapon. It can be.
You're getting the forum to have the discussion, and until you get past shall not be infringed, right? No alternative is going to be valued on this program. As long as I'm sitting
right,
in this
but
chair.
The founding fathers also said in that same amendment that a well-regulated militia is necessary to security of free state.
Right. So a well-trained militia being necessary for the security of the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. One's a qualifier, one's the right of the people. Right? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And why shouldn't we infringe
what you're saying?
Why shouldn't we infringe the right of the people
to
keep and bear arms? Why shouldn't we infringe on the rights of the people to keep and bear arms? Because a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of a free state. That's why the people get to bear arms.
Why would the founding fathers have included that particular phrase, though, if they didn't have that in mind?
They had that in mind. Because the militia at the time was the people, and the people needed to keep and bear arms so that they could form the militia and take
and
on the state.
It was a different circumstance.
Sure, but it's there. So until you get past that, right, and the moment you get past, the moment you get a constitutional amendment to overturn the Second Amendment, right, I think that's when all the gun owners need to put their money where their mouth is and rise up.
Richard?
Well, I can agree partially with that, at least, anyway. I just wondered, it didn't get discussed when I called the last time.
It's a terrible idea.
The person I talked to said he thought it was a good idea. But,
you know, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with you, Richard. There, so. A lot of people probably think that's an excellent idea. But we just happen to not be
three of
the people. But
I'm wrong.
Not be one of them.
You did ask a good question. You did ask early on in your call, Richard, what else can people do? Well, the first thing people can do is arm themselves. Most of these shootings are taking place at places where firearms are prohibited. They're sitting ducks. Why is government creating these areas where there is no form of defense? Why would they even create that at all? Why would you not have, I mean, it makes no sense. Politicians,
they need a precursor to take away the guns.
Right. Politicians themselves.
Slapped.
Politicians themselves.
I've never agreed with gun-free zones. I'm with you there.
Okay, so politicians themselves, who are enacting these laws that create these gun-free zones, surround themselves with what?
People with guns.
People with guns. Why do they do that? For their own security. So why is it okay for politicians to surround themselves with people with guns, but we can't surround, but you know, schools with guns? We can't even have people, just regular everyday people, teachers in school. Why can't they be armed?
Well, I just still think that the science of clinical and diagnostic psychology is far enough advanced to be able to do this.
It's not. I work in mental health. Well, it's not.
Even if it is.
I took an awful lot of psychology when I went to college, and, you know, I think it's designed as far as it is.
Yeah, let's entertain this. Shall not be infringed.
Yeah, well, and let's entertain it from a different perspective. Let's just say the science is there, and science can create some sort of psychological exam that, okay, we think you're okay to carry a gun based on this psychological profile that we pulled on you. You still have to force everybody to your preference. And once you start forcing people to your preference, you start violating the non-aggression principle, and that makes you wrong.
Well, I don't know. We may never agree. I still think that there should be some kind of an evaluation done, because there's just way too much gun violence. And I think some of it could be prevented because...
Not in New Hampshire, and we have constitutional carry.
Guess what? It has nothing to do with the guns.
It's true.
Well, I don't know that.
It's the root of the issue. Well, think about it.
Well, here's what happens.
It's an engine for manipulating force, you know, just like a car is.
But here's what happens. The choice to kill always happens before weapon selection. So... if guns are outlawed in some way, or you say, oh, you're not mentally stable enough to own a gun, if they still want to kill, they're going to find a way. They're going to get into a car. They're going to get a bow and arrow. They're going to get a knife.
There's a black market in guns.
They're going to get, right, they can get a gun without doing it the legal way. So what's the point? The answer, of course, is just for everybody to be armed as much as they want to be.
At least a few people.
The answer, of course.
That's basically my point.
The answer, of course, is for everybody to be armed. That's the answer.
Well, now you're talking about throwing like the baby out with the bathwater, right? Because you're going to prevent a few crazy people from getting
300 million guns that are in circulation already. I understand.
Yeah.
Good. So
I just think that it deserves to be tried, but that's just me, I guess.
Go try it elsewhere. They tried it in Australia. They tried it in Britain. They've tried it all over the place.
Richard, thank you for the call, and feel free to call again. I have enjoyed your call. Thank you. 603-283-6160.
The oppression in those places are off the charts.
Yeah. Well, and also, the one thing that I wish we'd have gotten to was that gun violence actually isn't going up overall. If you look at year-to-year gun violence, right, it isn't escalating. The number of reports you see on the news... are escalating, but that's just because we have the speed of the internet now, right? All the information is just being revealed more than it was previously.
Politicized, and it's being politicized. Take away the guns.
Exactly, yes. And so, of course, you're going to hear more and more about it, which makes you think that, oh my God, it's happening all the time, every day. No, that's not what's happening. You know, calm down, go look at some facts, and, you know, figure it out. Look at the history, look at, you know, how free societies function. Nikki brought up a good point about New Hampshire being a well-armed state.
Absolutely.
It is common to walk into the grocery store at any given hour and see one, two people carrying openly.
Yeah.
And I'm not even exaggerating. Like, it just happened. Now, that doesn't happen like when I lived in Washington State. In the Seattle metro area, you'd never see that.
Super illegal to open carry there.
No. It's actually legal in the state. The only time that I ever saw it in the metropolitan area, though, was when the whole Starbucks thing was going on, and people would just show up at Starbucks open carrying because Starbucks was like, yeah, we don't care.
Oh, I
for a while.
In some places, it's cultural.
Yeah.
Right? But a right not exercised is a right lost.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is why it's important to continue to exercise it as best you can.
And which is why I think that everybody should be armed as they want to be, individually.
Yeah.
Because armed society is a polite society. Let's move on. Let's get Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, I kind of like that caller, but what Nick said, I really like the idea about having a psychological test to get a driver's license. It makes a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
We got nuts driving around in Albuquerque, breaking all the traffic laws.
Sarah, how do you know that they're the nuts and you're not?
Well, I'm a nut, but I don't own a car. You know what I mean? I don't drive.
So at least she's practicing what she preaches.
Yeah. I did see an article. New Mexico is like one of the most dangerous states for pedestrians.
I have to value life. I'm not going to run people over and keep on hit them and run them over. And
how do you know? You've never driven
like
a car.
Crazy people.
Maybe you get behind the wheel of a car and you'd enjoy it so much that you'd start mowing people down with your car.
She's an admitted nut, right, who says she's not going to do this. Right, which means there are other crazy people who are not going to run people over, and you should not preclude them from getting a driver's license if they want one.
Well, they do it, but the thing is, they take the driver's license after you start speeding, after you get all the tickets or drunk driving, and then they take your license.
Oh, no.
And then they take your car.
And then what happens?
Why do you have to wait until that happens?
Because you're innocent until proven guilty. Right, you can't just accuse everybody of being guilty before they've even done anything wrong.
It's been a good show so far.
But if they have a record of being a criminal, and then you don't deserve a driver's license, it's a privilege.
What does that have to do with driving?
You have to be responsible. It's like voting privileges.
I don't think it's a privilege. I don't even believe in driver's licenses. I don't even think you should need to get a driver's license or take a test at all.
Licensing is when they take away your right to do something and sell it back to you for a fee.
No kidding.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. It's like you can't vote if you have a criminal record, right? They don't want to have passed laws that are criminal to ruin the society, right?
Well the real criminals are the ones passing the laws.
Fact.
Well, so Sarah, you like to, you know, help homeless people. I know you've called in a few times about that homeless shelter. I think that driver's licenses and any sort of license, it's a way to keep the homeless population down and to actually, it's a disadvantage to low-income people because it's another hoop they have to jump through. So scheduling the driver's test, say they work full-time, they don't have time to schedule the road test. You know, all these things are hoops that low-income people have to jump through. And I think it's actually, you know, maybe a way to target these lower-income people, even if it's, you know, indirectly, you know, the government isn't purposely doing it maybe, but that is the end result. It can be very difficult for certain populations of people to even get a car and a driver's license.
You have to take public transportation, which means your kids stay in state programs longer.
Yeah, it's a whole, you know, chain effect of a way to keep people down in it. And it makes it harder for a lot of these low-income people to rise up and, you know, better their lives.
And as Captain likes to say, the car is freedom, man. Go wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, it is an extension.
Well, you know what? I had to run for my life with all these irresponsible people that have a car that are driving around in Albuquerque.
You should just move out of Albuquerque.
I haven't managed to.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anywhere else.
My car not even once here.
I mean, it does.
That's because I'm quick on my feet.
Does it?
Here's the thing. Like, New Mexico, I just saw an article. I don't have the article in front of me.
Yeah.
But New Mexico was just, like, voted or statistically proven to be the most dangerous state for pedestrians and minorities when it comes to vehicle violence. Right? So just don't be there.
Yeah, right? I mean, Sarah just said she has to physically run away from cars because they're trying to hit her. I mean, that's crazy. That does not happen anywhere else.
Right. Move somewhere where there's, like, pedestrian traffic that, you know, dominates.
Like Keene. I mean,
Sarah would be right at home in the Seattle, Washington area.
Okay, Seattle.
Yeah, they just jump out right in front of the cars and never get hit.
Yeah, like the law in the Seattle metro area, I don't know if it's state law or if it's the city law or whatever, or the county even, but pedestrians have the right of way, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, like, people will literally just walk out in front of your car.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Well,
hey,
when I was in California, they were trying to get hit by a car, they're not on the freeway, they could sue the driver, the insurance
right.
company, and the property. They're trying to make money. And I've seen a girl in wheelchairs. I mean, this is what they do in other states because they get money for it. Over here, they just...
Yeah, because the laws are set up in such a way, Sarah, the laws are set up in those other states in such a way that it allows them to use the law to their advantage to scam you out of money.
That's what a pedestrian will scam you out of money. They were trying to find a Rolls Royce to get hit by.
Right. Right.
And they'll actually get settlements. I mean, you know what I mean? They have to get right. But over here.
Right. And what makes that possible, Sarah?
Run you over.
What makes that possible for them to sue you and get settlements when they jump out in front of your car? The way the law is written.
I think the laws are backwards.
Right, right.
Right. The 3,000-pound death machine should have the right of way.
I mean, in nature, that's how it works, right? If an elephant comes, you know, jogging through the jungle,
the right of way.
You know, I'm pretty sure everything else agrees that the elephant has the right of way.
Gorillas crossing the street, you stop for those guys.
Yeah.
But that being said, when I was in Spokane, right, there were people that would try to jump the right, like when my walk signal went, right, and I would punch their car. So, and I didn't feel any qualms about that because they were taking my right of way, right? I had the walk signal and they were trying to turn. So I've dented a few people's cars.
Yeah, my bass player did that once and then and he broke his hand.
I never broke my hand.
Car. Yeah. He punched it pretty good.
Well, who couldn't play the bass?
Hand by pounding on the car? You guys both did? You guys both
No,
did.
I never broke
they
a hand.
No,
a former bass player in one of my bands.
I've never been in Captain's band. I don't play the bass.
Oh, you punched that. You know what? Over here, if you tap their cars like that, they'll pull out a knife or a gun. You might get it. So,
I punched a dude's window because he started to back up while exiting a parking lot and almost ran me over on my moped. So I pulled
him
next
to me about that.
Yeah, Richie Rich, unbeknownst to most of our listeners, was a member of a moped gang.
I want to start a moped gang. Called the Two-Stroke Bandits.
The Two-Stroke Bandits.
I just
Bandits.
Haven't done it yet.
Is your, so you got a top rocker, a bottom rocker. What's your center shield? Just the number two?
I don't know. I need to hire a graphics designer.
I know some people in your area that
Sarah,
ride mopeds.
Sarah, thank you for the
so
call tonight. We appreciate you.
We'll get some pleathers.
The Two-Stroke Bandits?
That's it.
What's the
2SB.
The 2SB, okay, all right.
If I have a different sort of motorized machine with a two-stroke... But it's not a moped. Can I join your gang?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
it's just
cool.
A two-stroke part. There are four-stroke mopeds. Oh,
yeah, right, a lawnmower.
We are out of time. Thank you to Richie Rich and Nikki for joining me here in the studio tonight. Thank you to all of our callers, mostly our listeners and our sponsors, of course. If you missed any part of the program tonight, find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.